All right. Greetings, friends and enemies. This is the great one himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 16 years. A right, always right, always been right, always been right, never been wrong. Email me about your feelings at God. That's fur baby spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs, and give me your cuck bucks, especially if you want me to read a book for you or play a video game for you or watch a movie for you and then talk about said things, because I will do that if you give me money, because I am a whore. Much like my boomer mother, who's getting $1,400 of the $4,000 that I paid in income taxes this year. Why? Because she was so severely impacted by the Wuhan hoax. Oh, and also because she's a boomer. And because the boomers are simply, they're going to fucking bleed the entire fucking planet dry before they die. The boomers are going to fucking consume and destroy everything they possibly can before they fucking die. They're just burning the entire fucking planet down to feed their desire to have stuff and to be comfortable. Never in the history of the human species has one generation of people done so much fucking damage to everything. You know, prior to the boomers, people went, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about today, but I just hate boomers so fucking much. I just hate them with all of my fucking existence. Yes, even more than the Juden, I fucking have come to hate the fucking boomers. I mean, think about Europeans and Americans, United Statesians, whatever, right? Prior to the boomers, sailing across the oceans, exploring the West, inventions and creations, and then you got the boomers. And since the boomers, what have we done? What have we explored? What have we created? We got to the moon and then everything just stopped because boomers just wanted television sets. And the entire quest of the boomer generation has been to figure out how to get a bigger television for less money. Because they just worship the fucking television. Anything that's on TV, my God, boomers just believe it. Anything a boomer sees on television, well, it must be true. They have absolutely destroyed everything in a quest for their own fucking comfort. All these fucking boomers out there that couldn't find anybody who would love them or marry them or have children with them, right? You know, they just, well, you know, maybe not having a family is okay, and maybe homosexuality is great, and hey, let's celebrate trannyism. Let's get some more fags out there in the libraries to read to children while they're wearing dresses. I mean, everything, the economy, let's shut down the economy so that the boomers don't fucking die. Everybody has got to get a vaccine so boomers don't die. Everything is about the fucking boomers. The boomers are literally fucking destroying everything. Okay, let's move on. Let me prepare my mug of hot tea here. All right, there we go. So before we learn about how the movie Alien is actually a feminist movie, which is about the patriarchy. You see, the alien represents the patriarchy because everything represents the patriarchy when you're a fucking woman. And doubly so when you're a woman who is a loser. Speaking of women who are losers, I have right here in my hand, I am reading this book. It is painful. Oh my God, is it painful. I'm only on page 40 and I am experiencing physical pain. Okay, what's her name? Sandberg. The Sandberg book was pretty bad. So I read that. And there were a couple of things in there that she was right about. There was some useful information in there. There was some accurate information in there. But overall, I'm like, this is pretty bad. And then I read the Untamed book by the other feminist, by the feminist who used to be a Christian housewife and then figured out she was a lesbian and feminism, rah, rah, rah. Okay. And I'm like, oh, this book is fucking terrible. This makes Sandberg's book look good by comparison. This makes Sandberg look rational and intelligent by comparison. All right. So I finished that book. Now I've picked up this book. This book makes the Untamed book look rational and reasonable. Because the Untamed book, I did actually, there's a few things in there. I mean, the woman was not entirely wrong about everything. I've said this before, I'll say it again. You're going to be hard-pressed to find somebody who's wrong about everything. Yeah, I mean, are you going to find somebody? Most people will agree that breathing oxygen is a good thing, right? Breathing air is a good thing. Eating food, and this would be eating too much food, right? But I mean, there are some basic truths out there that most people accept. Okay, and everyone is probably right about something, at least, no matter how far out there they are. Now, I haven't finished the book yet. But I may have just found the exception to what I just said. This book, this woman is insane. This is perhaps the ultimate expression of femistatism that I have ever personally encountered. This is femistatism turned up to 11. This book is called Women Don't Owe You Pretty, and it's written by Florence Given. And Florence Given cannot stop talking about racism and sexism and ableism and cisgendered and white privilege and all this other stuff. And we're not going to go into depth in this book, though I might have to talk, I might have to do a series on this book. It's that fucking amazing. But this comes back to, yes, all women are like that. All women are in it for attention. This is a book about how you don't have to be pretty to get attention. But the point of the book is still that as a woman, you should be getting attention. See, right? So this whole thing is, well, you don't owe men pretty. You don't have to be, you shouldn't have to be pretty and shave your armpits to get attention. You should get attention even if you have hairy armpits. Because women can't live without attention. And what's fascinating about this book, well, there's a lot. But she goes on about, let me find one. Because I got the part I want to read, but let me see if I can find something to be the counterpoint to this. Everything is sexism, racism, ableism, transphobia, misogyny, racism, double standards. All of that's just on one page. You know, there's a lot of this shit. People who are emotionally secure and have a strong sense of self-worth won't feel intimidated by your need to express the emotional responses you feel. Okay, so can I tell you that you're a stupid feminist whore and you'll just allow me to do that? No, you'll have a fucking... And let's see. Oh, yeah. White girls wearing cornrows. See, that's bad. And of course, singing that word in rap songs, meaning nigger, because we can't say the word nigger. Blah, blah, blah. The journey is going to be long and hard. All right. Anyway, so here we go. Internalized misogyny, how race, class, sexuality, and desirability all affect the way that you're perceived in the world. Here we go. Look at where marginalized identities intersect with being a woman. Trans women are still expected by society at large to perform this type of femininity to pass as a real woman. There's no such thing. But remember, feminists will tell you what it's like to be a real man. And women of color are expected by society to perform prettiness to a further degree in a world where whiteness has been positioned as the epitome of pretty and femininity. And so she's on and she's on. But ultimately, this book is about her. here she says, but being, so she's talking about, because remember, so growing your armpit hair is a great accomplishment, according to her. And once again, this is understandable. Remember, the boomers took us, prior to the boomers, a great accomplishment was sailing around the ocean in a big boat made out of wood that was powered by the wind blowing on fabric. And if the wind stopped blowing, you were fucked, right? And it's a little wooden boat. And you sailed around the entire fucking planet in that. See, that was prior to the boomers, that was a great accomplishment. After the boomers, a great accomplishment is getting a big screen TV at Walmart on sale for only $250. Now, for women, a great accomplishment, if you have a vagina, is allowing the hair in your armpit to grow. This is a major accomplishment for women. Growing armpit hair, which you don't really have to do anything to grow the armpit hair. All you have to do is not shave it. So the accomplishment for women, remember, men, white men, walked on the moon. Men of assorted colors have sailed around the planet Earth. Women achieve greatness by not shaving their armpit hair. Men achieve greatness through action. Women achieve greatness in their minds, in their own little minds, through inaction. I didn't shave my armpit hair. Look how strong and independent I am. So this book is about how women don't owe you pretty, and the misogyny and the sexism and the racism and the ableism and the cisgenderism and on and on. I mean, I'm telling you, the density of the buzzwords, the density. This is one page, okay? This is page 10. Our collective ideas of what makes someone pretty in society is based on their proximity to whiteness, thinness, being non-disabled, and being cisgender. Okay, so you see, being white, thin, not disabled, and cisgender, these are all bad things. Then she continues, this helped me to see how my own prettiness has enabled me opportunities. Her own prettiness. Her own prettiness. See, this is about her. See, look how pretty I am. We go down here, which due to insecurity is near impossible for women. We come down here, depoliticizing our dating preferences as if they aren't problematic and heavily loaded with racist, fatphobic, and sexist bias. Then we come down, my prettiness is both the thing that allows people to treat me better and the thing that has led to the most traumatic experiences of my life. She's so pretty. Do you guys not understand how pretty she is? See, this book is really about how pretty she is. She's pretty and she's white and she's thin. At least she thinks she is. Okay, let me just read this and we got to get on to Alien. People compliment the hairs on my legs all the time. People compliment the hairs on her legs all the time. Not occasionally, all the time. Every moment, there's somebody complimenting that. And now, have you ever heard any human in your entire life compliment another human for the hairs on their legs? Have you ever witnessed that? Now, I'm not saying she's making this up. I'm saying she's lying. I'm saying that she doesn't know she's lying because she's so obsessed with herself. and how beautiful and pretty and white and thin she is that she can't even see that she's creating fictions. Up here on the same page, it says, as a black woman, as a Latinx tranny. You know, I love when a sentence or statement begins with as a. Let me tell you guys something. As a person who's always right, who's always been right, who will always be right, and has never been wrong, I despise people like this stupid cunt, Florence Given. Up here she writes, as a survivor of sexual assault. I can't wait. I hope there's details in here about this so-called sexual assault, because we know what sexual assault means nowadays. And she actually says in here, there's a sentence. Oh, here we go. I just found it. This is in her list of things you won't be able to enjoy anymore. Okay, here you go. Past sexual experiences that left you feeling uncomfortable might now actually be reframed as assault or rape as you learn to understand more clearly the definition of consent. So she's explaining to women that, yes, that sexual encounter you had in the past that left you uncomfortable, well, that was actually assault or rape. All right, anyway, let's continue. People compliment the hairs on my legs all the time. But complimenting people's body hair for being blonde and fair is a compliment at the expense of women of color, whose body hair grows naturally much thicker and darker, often across their arms, upper lip, legs, and brows. No, you white women, you have plenty of hair on your upper lips. Don't worry. But it's just this constant reminding us that she's white and she's pretty. Up here, right above this, it says, but being able to grow out your body hair without facing additional discrimination is a privilege afforded only to thin, cisgender, white women like me. Because even with my armpit hair, I will still be viewed as desirable. Even with her armpit hair, she will still be viewed as desirable. Because she's thin, cisgender, and white. Whoo, boy. The insanity levels are off the charts on this one. All right, speaking of insanity off the chart, let's try to get through the alien. So these are bits from a documentary called Memory, which is about the making of the movie Alien. It's called Memory because the original title of the Alien script was Memory. And now I'm spilling hot tea on myself because I'm a retard. However, fortunately, I'm still not as stupid as a femistatist. All right, this is not quite queued up, so we're going to start this. There's going to be a little bit of talking before we get to the feminism part. And but you can really it's close enough, all right? We're doing the best we
visually,
can.
Visually, in this incredibly subtle way, yes. There really is this war about the movement between the classes on the ship and who has the right to be heard.
Right.
Right. All right, here we go.
We now know that Hollywood in the 1970s was a very oppressive place for women.
Hollywood in the 1970s was a very oppressive place for women. You know, women who had hairy armpits were regularly burned at the stake. Oh my God. Oh, they're so oppressed. I mean, here we go. They're so oppressed.
Do you find, in fact, that this, what could be best described as your equipment, in fact, hinders you, perhaps, in that?
You think about the sexism, the misogyny.
The misogyny, the sexism and the misogyny.
...implicit within the industry that made this film.
You mean my finger?
Yeah, oh, you mean, are you talking about, like, Harvey Weinstein? I mean, what, the sexism and the misogyny, oh my God.
No, I meant your...
Come on, spit it out.
So they're showing here a clip from some movie. There's some guy talking to a chick, or not a movie. I don't know if it's a comedy bit or what. It has nothing to do with anything. It's supposed to be showing that there's sexism, right? There's this relatively cute girl sitting here and a guy talking to her, and he wants to say something about her body, but because he's a beta, he's afraid to say, hey, you have nice tits. So I don't really know what this has nothing to do with the movie Alien. This is supposed to be some kind of setup to illustrate to us how oppressed women are. Because this white woman, this blonde white woman who I'm seeing on the screen right now, she looks very oppressed.
Your figure.
My figure. Mm.
And there's no way of looking at Alien without seeing it as a male fantasy.
Okay,
of the
male
kind
fantasy.
Of oppression that had been being handed out to women over the centuries.
The movie Alien is an expression of the male fantasy of oppression of women.
Centuries, a guilt that was part of masculinity in the 1970s. And it should be part of masculinity now.
Guilt should be part of masculinity.
Alien has within it fantasies of male pregnancy, fantasies of male rape, fantasies of male penetration.
Not really.
And it's all tied up with that amazing chest burster scene.
I don't know how explicitly they realize what they were doing. I can't imagine that any studio would be like, yes, you're making a male rape movie in space.
Okay, so once again, women don't understand the meaning of the word rape. Because rape to a woman means whatever her feelings want it to mean in the moment that she's having the feelings. And what they're going to get at is, so the face hugger is supposedly raping Kane because it puts the egg inside of him and then the egg hatches, right? That's not rape. That's using another creature as a host. If being a parasite on another creature is rape, then that would make all women rapists because all women are parasites on men. Even the ones with careers, okay? Because all women are benefiting from the taxes paid by men. Holy crap. My stomach just rumbled. Did you guys hear that? Sounded like a fucking alien screaming or something. So the facehugger is not raping Kane. The facehugger is inserting its egg into a living host. This doesn't really qualify in my mind as rape.
For sure, let's go for it. It's wonderful that the unconscious works in so many mysterious ways.
Oh, by the way, so this is a white woman, blonde, you know, again, just whining about how oppressed she is.
It feels like a summoning in a major way. An accidental awakening of some repressed spirit. The Furies certainly speak for the repressed feminine.
Oh, the repressed feminine.
And Alien certainly represents the repressed feminine's retribution.
That's what it is. Yes, this movie is all about how oppressed women are striking back at the patriarchy.
Alien touched a nerve with a lot of people because it was talking about something.
This is Clark Wolf. She is obviously a feminist because she is fucking dumpy as hell, slightly overweight, and she's got the feminist glasses on.
That even in 2019, we're still not comfortable addressing.
No, we're perfectly comfortable addressing whatever it is you're talking about. You're a stupid bitch. But I can't address that because if I tell you you're a stupid bitch, you'll just start screaming patriarchy and sexism, and you'll have me silenced.
The idea that Alien is addressing the guilt that a patriarchal society feels makes perfect sense to me.
Of course it does, because you're a stupid bitch, because you think everything is about the patriarchy. So you see, this movie, according to the feminist, is about the guilt of the patriarchy. It's not about an alien getting on board a spaceship and killing the people on it. That's not what this movie is about. This movie is about how guilty the patriarchy is of oppressing women.
We'll move in pairs. We'll go step by step and cut off every bulkhead and every vent until we have it cornered, and then we'll blow it the fuck out into space. Is that acceptable to you?
Ripley was creating in 1979, obviously. And it's insane that we don't have that many great female characters since. And
that's because you women are boring. We don't have any good female characters. Well, if you women are so fucking strong and independent, why don't you make some fucking movies about some female characters? Oh, that's right. You can't make a movie about women because the patriarchy is holding you down and won't let you make any movies. But you're so strong and you're independent and you've got your fucking careers. You're so much more talented than men. Well, make some fucking movies about these fucking women. Oh, wait, you did, but nobody goes to see them because nobody wants to fucking see Brie Larson in fucking Captain Thunderdome or whatever the fuck was it, Captain Marvel. Because nobody gives a shit. Because no one gives a shit, right? When you do make a movie about a strong, independent woman, the fucking bitch comes out on TV and just spends all of her time attacking men and attacking white people. And then nobody wants to go see the fucking movie. Men haven't made any movies about strong, independent women. Men won't go see movies about strong, independent women. Don't anyone know that strong, independent women are strong and independent? God damn.
And especially in a genre like horror that's given so many female characters throughout time, and yet there's not one that strikes us as being as developed and as complex and as interesting as Ripley was?
What? Pretty sure we could find some once again. If you just, who gives? Yes, because women aren't fucking strong and complex. Women are just fucking boring. What do you women do? I mean, okay, what do any of you women do other than complain about being oppressed?
And isn't it ironic that she ends up being that way because she was written to be a man?
No, she wasn't. And so right here, see, this is where right now on the screen. Hold on. Can I screenshot? Oh, I mean, I know I can screenshot this. I wonder if the subtitles. Oh, they are. So here it is. I've got it with the subtitles. Right as she's saying that Ripley was written to be a man, they're showing a clip of a clip. They're showing the cameras panning over the script where it says, "The crew is unisex and all parts are interchangeable for men or women." So I don't know if the person who put the documentary did this specifically to undermine this stupid feminist whore. Because, of course, this directly contradicts. But then this contradicts what she's... My brain is getting ahead of my mouth again. This image of the script contradicts what she's saying and thus illustrates that just like a woman will typically, and by typically I mean all the time do, she's talking about something she has no understanding of.
Ripley is the only maternal character within her Promethean crew. Her transformation gives us direction for the transformation that we need to take as a culture to avoid self-destruction.
To avoid self-destruction.
She's a new example.
When we start off this sequence with Kane, this very strange shot that's low angle and he's all the way to the side.
And maybe at that point, you know, for want of a better term, there's something's been buried inside you, something's been planted in your brain and you're not sure what.
Feminism.
Kane seems all right, he's even smiling a bit. He's not at his best, but he's looking a bit peaky, but he's starting to kind of cough. Before you realize what really happens, your brain is already ahead of you. Your brain is going, it's in him, and it's coming out.
One thing that he's certainly taking advantage of is the incredible width of the anamorphic frame. The entire cast is in this one wide shot.
All right, I think we're done with the feminism for now. I got to jump ahead. I'm not prepared for this, so everybody's going to have to suck it up. Because they're talking about now... This documentary, other than these feminist clips, is actually really good. What is going on here? Where's the other feminism bits? Damn it. All right, where's the rest of the feminism? All right, damn it, I'm gonna have to stop recording and find the rest of the feminism, because otherwise you guys are going to listen to me just sitting here with my thumb up my ass. Okay, found it. Didn't really have to go much farther. So on one hand, according to the feminist, Alien is a movie about the male fantasy of oppressing women. But on the other hand, according to the feminist, it's a movie about men being raped. Okay, well, I continue to fuck up the technical aspects of all this. And let's try this again. Holy shit. All right, I've got to change that shortcut key. Let's try this one more fucking time.
One thing that he's certainly taking advantage of is the incredible width of the anamorphic frame. The entire cast is in this one wide shot.
All right, we're going to listen to a little bit of this because it actually sets the stage for what's coming. So here we're talking about the framing of the movie, which again is brilliant. I know. Oh, by the way, I think that some of you are under the impression that the reason I am such a big fan of the movie Alien is because I want to stick my dick inside Sigourney Weaver. I have very bad news for you. No. I mean, Sigourney Weaver in this movie, she's a five at best. No, I do not want to fuck Sigourney Weaver, right? That's not why I like the goddamn movie. I like the movie because it is brilliantly fucking filmed, which is what they're going to talk about in this little sequence I'm going to play, and then we'll get into the part where the feminist comes back and talks more about the patriarchy.
What could be safer than every single cast member in a brightly lit white room in a horror movie?
Everything in that ship is so dark. I mean, the light Ridley Scott uses is literally the light from the torches. That's it, right? But that scene, oh my God, you could operate in that scene, and you needed to operate in that scene, but they couldn't save the patient.
You go to Ash's reaction. I think that the key to the tension here is tracking Ash, because he's always in opposition to everybody else.
And this is what I'm talking about, because it's true. If you watch this movie, if you watch Ash, when everyone else is happy, he's looking upset or worried. And when everybody else is worried and upset, he's looking happy. It's truly brilliant. It's a brilliant piece of fucking filmmaking. It has nothing to do with Sigourney Weaver's titties.
It's a very short shot and you wouldn't notice it the first time, but when you go back and rewatch it, you realize he knows that this is gonna happen. There's so many more single one shots of him in this very strange off-kilter framing that really gives him this sinister surveillance kind of vibe, whereas most of the other characters, you're seeing them in groups because they're all on the same team. You believe that this is because he has a better intuition than the rest of them about how dangerous it is and he's trying to protect them, but in fact, he's trying to protect this baby monster that he's allowed to come into the world.
This son of a bitch is huge. I mean, it's like a man, it's big.
Kane's son.
Ash is such a dick.
Oh, the feminist is back.
When you think about it, he's not an authentic being. So
like
someone,
a feminist,
a human person, had to program him
the way that you, as a feminist, have been programmed.
Educate him. Not only is he supposed to look like a person.
Like you.
He's supposed to pass as a person.
Like you, as a feminist.
Know. And that's what makes him the worst.
And that's what makes you, as a feminist, the worst. He's the worst. Does he represent the patriarchy? He's the worst, because he's supposed to pass as a person. Well, you're trying to pass as a person.
That misogyny was built in.
The misogyny was built
Ash
in.
Ash looks at Dallas like, what do you think?
I'm willing to take that chance. Just cut it off.
The misogyny.
Yes, Alex, take the responsibility. Get him out of here.
Ripley, on the other hand, is saying, I am making this call. It's my job to make this call.
to play this in order. You hear me?
Yes, I read you. The answer is negative.
In the hatch open.
And he says, nope, that's not going to happen. I override you.
And he says, nope, that's not going to happen. Nope, I'm a feminist. Nope, do you hear the tone of her voice? Hey, you wonder, feminists wonder why people hate them. I mean, do you hear the tone of her voice? And you can't see that, but she's waving her arms around like Tommy Loren in her little video where she's whacking on her clipboard or whatever she's in. It's just this arm-waving, fucking condescending tone of voice that the feminists have.
Where does he get the idea to penetrate this woman forcibly, you know?
Because every man wants to forcibly penetrate women, preferably with a bullet, because that's the only way we could get you to shut the fuck up about how oppressed you are while you're sitting there in your air-conditioned building wearing your nice clothing with your fucking career that's paid for by my tax money, and then you go home and you look at your fucking big screen television that was bought at Walmart.
That it doesn't logically make sense for an artificial life form to do that. He would choke her. He would suffocate her. The final choice that he makes is to just put this woman in her place.
God, someone needs to put you in your place.
Programming. Think, if we think about that, if we really unpack that.
Unpack!
It's so frustrating.
No, what's frustrating is the fact that the economy of this country has been fucked up and a bunch of people like me don't have jobs because women like you are afraid of dying. That's what's fucking frustrating.
I hate him.
I hate him. Look at me. I'm a woman. Shut up, whore. All right. That was the end of the feminism. The rest of the documentary is perfectly good. Do I have anything else to say? Do I have anything else to follow this? Am I done here? Do I just need to move on? It's a project / playing Star Wars day. I'm getting a lot of shit done that's not playing Star Wars. Oh, yeah, and by the way, you may have noticed that Wednesday's post actually got published on Tuesday because I wasn't paying attention to what the hell I was doing. So you're welcome. You got that early. All right. I do think this is it. I think I'm signing off for now. Happy Friday. Talk to you guys on Monday. Ciao.